Coming up on this edition of the Ross Report, some current updates on who is leaving and who has been signed by the Pack. Hi, I'm Lori Brunesky, once again coming to you straight from Gillette Stadium on March 24th, and you're listening to the official podcast of the New England Patriots. For today's Ross Report, you can listen to Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart talk about the roster. They give their thoughts on 10-year veteran kicker Adam Vinatieri's departure. You can also hear who else is left and who the Pats have re-signed, all this and more.
Thanks, Lori, and welcome to another edition of the Patriots Podcast Roster Report here on Patriots.com. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo with you for this edition on March 24th. Lots of comings and goings this week. We finally have the roster report in full swing, guys, here. Several names on either side of the list. I'm going to run them down real quickly here. Since last Friday, our last podcast, there's been about nine or so transactions going on. Some are not official yet, but based on our knowledge, based on our information, this is what we have coming in on the re-signed category. Only one unrestricted free agent from another team thus far is signed. That's wide receiver Rishay Caldwell from San Diego, which happened just after our report last week, and we had talked about him a little bit. But other than that, a couple of veterans have re-signed. Troy Brown, which... that signing will be announced imminently from what we're told. Chad Scott is official. Stephen Neal, we're told, is on the horizon, and there were even some reports in the local papers today about Heath Evans. So five guys there coming in. Andy doesn't look all that enthusiastic, Tom, but what do we think about these moves so far?
Well, the Stephen Neal one is big for me because they don't really have any depth at guard, so if you lose him, the free agent market at the guard position isn't very strong this year, so now you're talking about drafting one with a high draft pick, so I think Stephen Neal is a high priority for this team.
Plus, they had a bad offensive line last year, and if you lose your best player
it's going to get worse.
From that group, that's a problem.
All right, now I'm going to segue into the, because of what we're talking about in the offensive line, into the departures, because I know Adam Vinatieri obviously has garnered most of the attention, and rightly so, being such a key member of three Super Bowl title winning teams. But another member of the offensive line officially signed elsewhere with Seattle, Tom Ashworth. Now, Tom is not, any second coming of John Hanna or anything like this, but we're talking about the line was a little bit depleted last year, and now you're looking at a situation where a swing starter here, I mean, he started for the most part when he's been healthy, is gone. At the very least, that deals a blow to your depth up front. What do you guys think? And just running down the other departures, Tyrone Poole has signed with Oakland, and Tim Dwight has signed with the New York Jets. So they've lost four guys this week. Ashworth is a guy who might not get a lot of attention, but I think it's significant. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, the offensive line to me is a problem that we don't really talk about that much. It wasn't good last year, and I think it needs an upgrade. And how many times are you going to get seventh-round draft picks and guys from NFL Europe and former wrestlers that are going to turn out and be good? Sooner or later, you're going to have to get some players on the offensive line, or Tom Brady's going to get killed.
And the thing that nobody really talks about, again, is the injuries, if Light or Copen are in some way delayed. And if they're back, okay, you have a pretty solid foundation. Casher got some experience last year. Mankins got some experience. You get Neal back. You get Copen in there. You get Light on the left side. Okay, you're all set maybe, but... if those guys are limited, now you're kind of scrambling. You've lost those veteran backups like a Tom Ashworth, who steps in at left tackle, steps in at right tackle, does basically anything you need him to do. And that, I would not have re-signed him. The money he got in Seattle, huge money, reportedly $4.5 million in bonuses and first-year salary on a five-year $13 million deal. Sorry, no interest.
That's
going to
be interesting.
Congratulations, thanks for coming.
Favorite guy in the locker room.
That's
going
to be interesting to see how
he
does there, because obviously they hold him in much higher regard than the Patriots do. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays.
I mean, it doesn't matter how he does. He already cashed in better than he ever expected.
To see if the Seahawks coaching staff saw something in him that the Patriots coaching staff didn't.
Yeah, and it might be a situation where desperation plays a role. The Patriots, as Andy just pointed out, do have, if everybody is healthy, big if, that's a big if that everybody has, a starting line, of White, Mankins, Copen, Neal, if presuming that he is officially re-signed, and Casher on the other side. That's a pretty solid group. Seattle's dealing with a hole that they needed to fill. Mm-hmm. So, in that regard, you can understand why they may have, quote-unquote, overpaid a little bit for a guy the Patriots might not hold in nearly as high a regard. Now, this is the roster report. We're trying to break down the makeup of the roster. Still, a couple of weeks now into free agency, I would think you guys would agree, the losses are outweighing the gains right now. And we know that there's going to be some more additions here. What areas do you see badly in need of some additions here?
I think wide receiver is still a big one because you have maybe the best quarterback in football is what we like to think as Patriots fans, and nobody to get him the ball, get the ball to, because Deion Branch is your one. But I think we've seen at times he's not a legitimate one. He can't get open if a defense tries to take him away, and you're signing Rishay Caldwell, Troy Browns. Those are nice threes and fours, but yeah. I'd like to see a two who can be the guy you turn to when Deion's not open.
Yeah, they definitely need a veteran receiver at some point, because even if you did draft a Chad Jackson in the first round, he's got to come in, learn the system. I mean, if you're talking about being a contending team, it's hard to ask a rookie receiver to go on and take a big portion of the load in his first year. So, receiver. Also, you know, running back still hasn't been addressed at all. Perhaps the draft, we don't know yet, but they need some kind of upgrade at running back, because if Corey Dillon comes back, plays well the first two games, and gets injured like he did last year, they still have no one to really fall back on.
Well, Jim Brown, I mean, Heath Evans is reportedly
resigning. It's John Riggins.
Oh, John Riggins.
Get it right.
Whatever. He's a power back.
But,
stump.
Yeah, there have been reports that he is, about to re-sign. That is not official. We'll stress that. That
and
one's not official.
It's not really all that significant.
No, I agree. That's a depth signing at best, and, you know, chances are he probably won't be a part of the team. I wouldn't think.
And I hate to say it, but you could probably, other than punter, maybe quarterback, there's need everywhere.
Right.
Every position. I mean, even on the defensive line, you could use a backup nose tackle.
And I agree with you guys about wide receivers being the biggest one, and we probably should point out that there was a report in the Boston Globe during the course of the week that the Patriots have made an initial inquiry in terms of Eric Moulds with Buffalo. Buffalo has given Moulds permission to seek a trade, and based on reports, don't know if the validity to these reports, but based on what we've read, the Patriots have done so. They've at least inquired about Moulds, so we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Now, I'm not sure. I think, you know, obviously talent-wise, that's a no-brainer. He steps right in along with Branch, and you have two solid starting NFL wide receivers. I don't think anybody would argue that. But at what price, I think, is the question.
Yeah.
With a guy like Moulds. He's squabbling over dollars right now in Buffalo. I'd find it hard to believe that he'd be willing to take less money to go elsewhere if he has a choice. Now, maybe if he doesn't have a choice, then, you know, all bets are off.
Well, same thing with Keyshawn. He canceled his visit here when he signed with the Panthers. In my opinion, someone's going to give these guys the money they want. So if it's not the Patriots, it's going to be somebody else.
It's a tough year, in my opinion, because I think the money is out there. And I think that's a little bit of a departure from the way it's been. The cap went from 85 to 102. It's not going to go that percentage increase in future years. That's a big jump. And I think there's more money out there available than has been in the past. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Patriots are having a hard time hosting these free agents and getting them to sign. You know, guys like Fabini and Mawai and D'Shay Townsend, guys that we know have been in here. We know they've talked to the Patriots, but yet they're going somewhere else because I think they're getting more money and the Patriots are sticking with their philosophy. Now, can't argue with their philosophy. It's been unbelievably successful, but is this a concern down the road to you guys? Because it is
a concern
to me.
It's a concern to me. If players don't want to come and play for your team, that's a concern.
Well, the thing I would say is you just said it's the track record. You can't argue with their philosophy. Well, the theory we use with Willie McGinnis, it's better to let him go a year too early than a year too late. Well, is it better to start criticizing a philosophy that we think is wrong a little early than
know.
A year late?
I don't know if that's the same.
Do we wait till they go 6-10 and go, well, maybe
we
that philosophy
it.
Is behind the times.
I'll say this.
Maybe there's $102 million out there to spend and other teams are spending and you're not, and you have to play up to the market if you want some talent.
I'll say this before we wrap it up here. To back up Andy's point, we're often saying you can't pay guys based on their track record. You can't pay guys for what they have done, but what you think they will do.
Right.
So if that's true, then I can't assess what's going on in the present based on what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Same thing.
And if we're going to base this coming season right now on what I think this roster will do, ooh, that's not pretty.
All right. So the roster breakdown on Patriots.com podcast is not pretty, according to Andy Hart. But we will be back nonetheless, because I'm sure more moves and more transactions will be made during the course of the week. So Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo will be back March 31st, next Friday, with your next edition of Patriots Roster Report.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Come back next Friday to hear all the updates on the Roster Report, and go Pats!